Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Warbirds Interview. I'm Dan Bolin. Hey, listen, I'm sorry we're a little bit late, but with the rain and everything, it's been a mess out here. We're doing a 100th anniversary of Naval Aviation. I got some great Navy pilots here today. They prefer to be called aviators. And I'm an Air Force guy, so I'll call them aviators if they want to. Let's start off with one of my friends is standing over here. Link, come on up here, please. This is Link Dexter. Have a seat, my friend. You started in the Navy back in the 50s. And describe your training back then when you started out.
My training, I started in August of 1956. And I was what was known as an aviation cadet. So you have to kind of start at the bottom, and you have 3 months before you ever see an airplane and going, putting through what we used to refer to as torture. And if you made it through that, then you got to really play with an airplane. Last name was Dexter, so they were split between T-34s that they were phasing in and T-6s, which were phasing out. But since I was in the first part, we had to go to T-6s. And when you start flying, that T-6 is it's a pretty awesome little airplane to start in. But managed to survive that, and from there went to Whiting Field into T-28s. Well, when we got into T-28s, the T-6 people thought, man, this is easy. We've died and gone to heaven. It was great. The people that got out of those little T-34s looked at that old T-28 and they went, wow, what are we getting into? So my training was really good. I liked the tailwheel training and so forth and so on. It was good. Went from there, eventually managed to get my wings, and got put into a tour at helicopters. And in a way, I kind of went to helicopters kicking and screaming, but it turned out to be a lot of fun. And I went way back to the days of the old wooden blade hups, and when Sikorsky came out with that, with the H-19, I went, oh, they'll never get anything any better than this. It actually had hydraulic controls. And flew helicopters from a tour there and went back down to Pensacola. I started off instructing for a short period of time, but I had a maintenance background because I'm also an AMP. That's what my guys were working on, getting cracked exhaust stacks off so we can get them welded up on this duck here behind us. That's how Danny fished me into speaking a little bit about some of my career. But I really had a great, varied career. I worked at O&R Pensacola as a test pilot on the T-28s and F-9Fs. And from there, I went to Roosevelt Roads and flew a lot of things. I flew helicopters, I flew HU-16s, T-28s, F-9s. We still had a bunch of Red Dogs in there, F-8U Crusaders, which we used at chase planes out on the missile range. And from there, I went to a squadron called VRF-31. And that's probably was the luckiest thing that ever happened to me. When I left the Navy, I was current in 26 different airplanes. I flew all the helicopters that were in the Navy fleet, was helicopter standoff eval officer, and end up with a lot of time in the H-53s, all the way down to the little Bell 47s, and got a lot of Sky Raider time, a lot of S-2F trackers. All our job was to pick up new ones at the factory and deliver them to the new squadron homes. And then we'd pick up ones that came off tours and would take them back to the overhaul facilities. All of the Sky Raiders were all coming in beat up from Nam, and they'd glue them together enough, and we'd fly them back to Quonset Point where they overhauled them. So I had a pretty good, career. From there, I went to the airlines and retired as a 747 captain with Flying Tigers. So managed to do a lot. I was lucky enough to fly the EA B-17 for a number of years, and that's been fun. In fact, Danny and I have flown it together quite a few times.
Yes, we have. And it's always a pleasure to be around Link. He's got so many wonderful tales about naval aviation. I was an Air Force guy, so I don't know why they picked me to do this tribute to the Navy this week, but here I am. I got some other guys I want to introduce to you. And stay if you want, Link. Are you busy?
Yeah, I'm going to try to help get this. I see they got it off. I'm going to take it over, and we're going to weld that up, and maybe you'll get to see us put it back on.
Thanks, Link.
I just want to thank you all for coming out to this. It's really the people that put this on do a lot of work to make sure you people are entertained, and I'm happy to be here, part of it.
Thanks, Link. Appreciate it. I'd like to call up Commander Marcus Stockwell. Come on up here. This is feedback, guys. That's his call sign. I want to get a little bit different view of current training feedback. It's ready to go.
Okay. Great.
Hold this thing real close to your mouth, will you?
Okay.
He's talking about the T6/SNJ trainer. What a great trainer that was, because I've got a little bit of T6 time myself, and if you can fly that thing well, you can fly just about any fighter, Corsair, P-51. So correspond that with today's training.
Well, first of all, I don't even know what a T6 is, Dan.
Right there.
I'm
That's the
kidding.
Yellow peril, they call it.
Yeah, it's a lot of rudder, right?
Yeah, you better.
Okay. Well, as the T-34s were phasing in his time, they were supposed to be phasing them out in my time, but not quite soon enough. So we and all my counterparts over here, we would have started on T-34. Single-engine turboprop. Well, I'm sure there's probably one parked around here somewhere.
Yeah, there's some here somewhere.
Just like the T6, I'm sure it was a handful to start for a guy that's, only driven a car in his life. You get in, you hop in that thing, it was a little intimidating. Struggled through that and found your way out. And then we, at the end of that process, got divided into different pipelines, whether you're going to go fly jets or helicopters or props or whatnot. And obviously I went on to fly jets and moved down to Kingsville, Texas from Corpus Christi, short drive, to fly T-45s, the Goshawk. I know there's one parked over at the ramp over at the...
Now that's a British airplane, right?
It is a... the Hawk is the British one. We bought this thing and it's licensed from... the manufacturers of the Hawk, and then we call it the Goshawk, and I believe McDonnell Douglas builds it. Yeah, that single engine little jet trainer, we go through that with all of our initial flight school stuff, learning to fly jets, with get your first look at tactical formation flying, some air-to-ground, deliveries, dropping some practice bombs, and a little bit of ACM, air-to-air combat. And then most importantly is you finally go to the boat for the first time. And we will go to the boat for the first time by yourself in that jet. After spending many, many countless hours going around and around and around at the field with all the instructors out there critiquing you, eventually they say, okay, it's time to go. And we all fly out scared and try and find this boat and land on it.
Smitty, come on up. This is Adam Smith, Commander Adam Smith, call sign Smitty. Take it from there, Smitty. The first time you saw that boat, thanks. Stay if you want to. Stay if you want. All right. First time you saw that boat, and you got to go down there and land on it, give us that reaction.
Well, the first day that I went out to land on the carrier, there were some guys flying an S-3 around the carrier, and they had some trouble with their airplane, and they actually had to eject. And so on our way out to the aircraft carrier, we found these guys. We were what's called the on-scene commanders. We were there was three students and an instructor in an airplane leading us out to land on a boat for the first time, and we come across these guys that had just ejected. They're in the water. You can see them bobbing around. We have reflective helmets, and you can clearly see them kind of bobbing around in the water. So I'm sitting there, and my heart was already pounding just thinking about landing on the boat for the first time, but then I see these guys that just ejected. And they were rescued by a helicopter, and they were all safe and stuff like that. But they took us back to the beach after that and let us kind of calm down for a night. And then the next day we went and tried it again, and that was my actual first landing. And my first landing, you're on kind of what we call brainstem power. You revert back to all your training, like everybody says, and stuff like that. But I forgot to put my tail hook down, which makes it really, really hard to stop on an aircraft carrier. And as I rolled into what we call the groove, kind of the short final there of behind the boat, I was actually doing a somewhat decent approach. So the LSO, the guy that was kind of in charge of my safe landing there, he told me to put my hook down, and I slapped it down and made a successful landing. And luckily enough, that guy is still a squadron member of mine to this day. His name's Janice. And I had to buy him a very expensive bottle of booze to thank him for reminding me to put my tail hook down.
You know, there has always been a gentle, sometimes not so gentle, rivalry between the Air Force and the Navy. Who has the best pilots? Well, I'll tell you, they both got different missions, and they're both very good at what they do, both the Air Force and the Navy. But I can say this, as an Air Force pilot, anybody that can land on a pitching carriage deck at night in all kinds of weather after flying a combat mission has got my respect. I'd like all the naval aviators in the audience to stand and be recognized. All naval aviators, please stand and be recognized. God bless you. God bless you. I know we have a World War II veteran here. Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right, Eric, come on up here and join us. Quattro. This is Eric Bialik, call sign Quattro. Where'd you get that call sign, man?
Oh, like a lot of Navy call signs, they sometimes are ones that you would like to have, and sometimes you get them for doing things that you would rather not have people know about.
Okay,
and
so you're not going to tell us, right?
Yeah, mine might have been from the later.
Okay. All right, pick it up from there. You went out, you got your first trap on the boat, and what was your feeling after that? I know it's got to be a great accomplishment for a naval pilot.
Yeah, it was a great. It felt great. Like Smitty said, you go out there and you're completely nervous for that first one, and then after that first one's done, you know, the adrenaline just kicks in, and you're kind of on your game after that. Now it's a little bit different with the T-45s when we were out there doing it in the T-45s. It was just a day only type experience. So when you get to the FRS and flying Hornets or whatever your platform is, and then you go out for the night carrier qual, that's all that nervousness comes back for that initial night carrier trap.
I've heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, but guys coming back from combat missions in Vietnam, their heart rate would be a lot worse than combat coming back aboard ship at night. Is that true?
Oh yeah, it's definitely true. Like I said, the day stuff, it becomes easy. It almost becomes fun to go around there and fly around the pattern and just knock out some day traps. But every time coming back to the aircraft carrier at night was a hard work. You're always concentrating the whole way down, and I was nervous every time.
Wow. You are wearing the patch of one of the most famous fighter units in U.S. history. Can you talk a little bit about the Sundowners and what they did?
I don't know that much about the old history of the Sundowners, but currently today we're an adversary squadron down in Key West. We're training the FRS, mostly the FRS. We'll also do some SFARP missions for the strike fighter weapons schools, and they'll bring their carrier air wings down to train down there, and we'll work them up for going on deployments.